Hey, everybody. This is Heidi St. John. You guys have found me at America's Town Hall. This is where we're talking about what's happening in the nation, particularly as it relates to those of you who are listening in Washington State, where I am running to represent Southwest Washington for the 3rd Congressional District. I am running, in case you haven't heard, against Jamie Herrera Butler. Today, I'm very glad to have Brett Simpson in the studio today, and we are going to spend some time talking about election integrity, one of the hot button issues coming up in the election. I'm just going to jump right in. I've got a guest in the studio with me today, and Brett and I are really sort of recent acquaintances. We had a mutual friend, but you are very interested in election integrity. You and your wife live in Camas, correct? You've got four children?
Yep. We live up just north of Camas in Hawkinson. We were in Camas. We moved up to Hawkinson. We just finished building the house.
Oh, it's beautiful up there. I love Hawkinson. You're not too far away from me.
Nope.
All right. I love that. And you guys have four children. They're ages 8 and under. So you guys are really, I mean, this is going to impact your family.
Yes.
Very, very greatly. You know, I've got grandchildren that are 8 years old now. And I'm doing this for my grandkids. You're doing this for your kids and for their kids. And I'm curious, you know, I mean, obviously there was a massive upset in 2020. So take us back a little bit to when you decided to really get involved in what's happening with election integrity.
Well, it was basically right around the election, just after.
Was that a shocker to you? Were you just like, what just happened on election night?
I would say yes and no. I kind of figured out Trump was obviously a big, he's shining a flashlight kind of on everything for a lot of people. I was always pretty skeptical of politics in general, all the way back to when I was in high school. And I would just used to think that both parties, it was a scam. I mean, both parties are scam, which, of course, I didn't realize how right I was, that there was this uniparty kind of collaboration.
And we see it now, right?
Oh, yes.
This globalist push. I was just telling an audience, I was speaking the other night in Klickitat County, and I was telling them, you can't look at somebody and just go, oh, he's got an R behind his name, and therefore assume he's a conservative. It's not even, it's not true anymore.
That's right.
Yeah.
Their actions kind of dictate everything. And it's not just people who have been co-opted or corrupted after the fact, you know, that some of these people are put, I think, put into place in, ahead of time to, you know, the designated controlled opposition for the Democrats to kind of create this kabuki theater of politics for us to take in and kind of go, oh, shucks, we just missed. We just missed it. If only we had voted a little bit more, if only we do a little better next time. And I think that, you can see that a lot in when you dive into details of the election integrity stuff, you can really see where they're putting their thumb on their scale, which is kind of more interesting now to try and see, try and ferret out, like, what's the long-term plan? What are they pushing for, and where are they letting things slide in order to kind of craft the narrative?
Yeah, it's scary. I want to talk really just for the next couple of minutes about Referendum 90. So this was something that I was deeply involved in. You know that I've been at the front of the fight against comprehensive sex education in our schools. I don't believe that most parents want this garbage taught to their kids. Certainly, even OSPI's own survey of parents in King County said overwhelmingly parents don't want this. And then so we decided, you know, so the governor goes and signs it into law anyway. So then we get Referendum 90, which gave parents an opportunity to say, no, we don't want this garbage in our schools. And then the lockdown happened. Right. So now we've got to get this initiative on the ballot. We had to get, I think it was 135,000 signatures in order to get it on the ballot. And I remember thinking at the time, you know, this is early in 2020, long before I decided to run for Congress, long before the world got completely turned up on its head. And I remember thinking, how are we going to do that? Like, they've just literally locked the state down in places that we would normally go to collect signatures, churches, you know, Walmart parking lots, places like that. You can't go. So we were forced to, you know, put up little kiosks, you know, out on the street in the pouring down rain. And lo and behold, we collected about 260,000 signatures. So over twice what we needed to get that thing on the ballot in the middle of the Rona, in the middle of the lockdown. And lo and behold, November rolls around and we lose Ref 90. I don't know what was more upsetting to me that night was seeing the results come in that we would lose Ref 90 or seeing that Trump lost the election. That was when my husband looked at me and said, something's wrong. People don't want this. And somehow we lost to this. And because it's a radical leftist idea, right? Comprehensive sex education is owned by the radical left. It's their idea. It's this Marxist indoctrination that they're trying to push into the schools. most parents are like, no, I don't want that. And yet this is what happened. So what's your take? What have you seen so far about that? Because you're studying, I mean, you really have, you're doing a deep dive into election integrity right here in Washington State.
Yes. Yeah. And we'll go into that hopefully a little bit, but yeah, specifically about the sex education stuff. So, I would say at my antenna were up early on that, mm-hmm. When they first passed the comprehensive sex ed law. I actually taught when I was in high school, we had they called it aid student peer education at Newport was what it was. We went around all the Bellevue schools and we taught what I would say is very comprehensive sex ed mm-hmm. to all the kids there, but it was very scientific, biology driven. Mm-hmm. You know, it didn't have all kind of the social aspects that right. they have now.
Oh, wow. So you're teaching kids that there are just two genders. That's weird.
Yep. I mean, you talk about, you know, there's hermaphroditic intersection, oh, sure. like something right.
which
is
are,
a small
which
percentage.
Which are chromosomal anomalies.
Exactly.
Right? Much different than, you know, I made this up in my head and today I think I want to be a man and maybe tomorrow I'm going to be a mermaid.
Yeah.
Right?
If somebody thought that, it would be described as...
a mental illness?
Yeah, but I'm trying to think of it. Gender dysphoria. I mean,
yeah.
that's what it was.
That's
what
right.
it is.
Yes. Yeah.
So it was very fact-based. And the other part of it was a very contained class and people could opt their kids out of it. Mm-hmm. And people did opt their kids out of it. Mm-hmm. So, which I understand, you know, there's graphic images and things that you're teaching about kind of that in-depth stuff.
Right.
But it was very controlled. So when then they brought up this bill initially, I went, well, why are they bringing up this bill? We already have it
right.
in schools.
Right.
So why are they, what are they trying to push out? And that's what really made me go, something's not, this. They're lying about what this is.
Yeah,
right?
Shocker.
They create a lot of good sounding acronyms and good sounding names mm-hmm. to kind of get the low information voter to, well, that sounds nice and check mm-hmm. the box, right? Mm-hmm. So that, yeah, to me, that was one of the ones that really stuck out as being a trigger for our local elections of just how bad those were. You know, mm-hmm. you look at the national and you say, okay, the Trump-Biden thing to me was an easy and obvious problem there. Mm-hmm. But you kind of wonder, well, it's a national level thing, right?
Right,
and,
right.
And the stakes are much higher as far as money involved and kind of power. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What became concerning to me was that the R90 wasn't, you know, that it passed. Not only did it passed with a weird amount in Clark County. I mm-hmm. believe it was a little over 60%, mm-hmm. Which, you know, I was driving around and working throughout the county and same thing. I saw people sign, you know, out in kiosks signing up. Everyone yes. was stopping and signing up.
Yeah.
It
people
was
don't want this.
Not popular.
Yeah. Yeah.
It, just from a anecdotal driving around, it was mm-hmm. not a popular thing. Mm-hmm. So to pass not just at the state level, but then at the county level and our county, then having the same percentage of the state mm-hmm. really just didn't add up.
Right.
So right. that's kind of when I went, there's something's not right at our level. Mm-hmm. Which seems weird. So I dug into some of the numbers, and it you look at the up what they call up ballot, down ballot. So you know it's the federal president, vice president, mm-hmm. Congress people, mm-hmm. like a position you're running for, or senators, and then you look at the down ballot, which is all the local stuff, right? Referendums or some of the what did we just have? We had the charter amendments mm-hmm. that just went through. The numbers didn't make sense. With the patterns of the way people vote typically. Typically, people will vote up ballot or full ballot.
Right.
There's not typically kind of a – people don't usually go
cherry
around
picking.
And, yeah, and cherry pick each little thing that
sure.
they want on there.
Yeah, because if they're going to take the time, they're going to take the time and do the whole thing.
And they'll blow down the ballot for all the R's or mm-hmm. all the D's.
Which I quit doing, by the way.
Yeah.
I quit doing that. I started doing my homework. You know, and realizing, oh, hey, this guy is not a Republican. He's just masquerading as a Republican.
Exactly.
And I think people need to do their homework. Yeah. Which yep. is a whole separate issue. But oh, my goodness. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and it's hard. It can be hard to do your homework when all you get is bumper yeah. sticker slogans and sound bites.
Right. Yep.
And I think that pulls into a bigger thing that we can talk about, too, mm-hmm. I didn't want to involve myself in politics growing up, even mm-hmm. though I'd say I had a strong interest in it, but it
yeah.
was. It was always the ugly subject, right? You knew that it was corrupt. You knew that people had to compromise themselves to get anywhere mm-hmm. And to get any level of influence.
Which is crazy, right? If you think about it, because mm-hmm. politics is like money. It's neutral on its face,
yeah.
right? The only reason politics is disgusting is because they're disgusting people in politics. The only reason that money becomes disgusting is because what we do with the money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what are they doing at the Mexico border right now mm-hmm. with money? Well, they're selling children into slavery. You know, there's just so many things that are wrong. But when I was growing up, you know, I grew up in the church and they said, oh, those are two things we never talk about. We never talk about in polite society, never talk about religion, never talk about politics. Thanksgiving's coming. Boy, we're just going to keep these conversations, you know, under the table. We don't have those conversations, which was a huge mistake.
Yeah.
Well, because we need to be talking about it.
I think it was actually very smart maneuvering by the radical left, right? Yeah. Of that they knew that the church was something they couldn't pierce. I mean, you look at all the communist socialist countries around the world, what do they want to do? They want to eradicate not just religion, but specifically Christianity.
Or make it a state religion, right? Yeah. So you can only have their religion, therefore they control the narrative.
Exactly. Yeah. So they don't want people putting their faith and trust in a higher power because that takes away from their power.
Right.
And it lets you see through their lies.
Right.
So they've done that. You know, I think that was one of their smart things. They kind of reversed the whole separation of church and state, which wasn't intended to be no church in the state.
That's
it was
right.
supposed to be no state in the church.
Yeah, it was trying to protect the church from the state, not the other way around.
Yeah, which is something I didn't learn until just a few years ago.
Yeah.
And I was somebody who was fairly interested in civics and history and, you know, especially military history. Mm-hmm. So it was very interesting to then read that and realize that they'd really twisted the narrative
and then
rammed it into our heads.
Yeah.
You know, that, church isn't allowed in schools. Mm-hmm. Church isn't allowed in the government.
Yeah, separation of church and state, which really they're taking out of context anyway. This never came from the Constitution. It came out of a letter that Thomas Jefferson wrote to the Danbury Baptist Church. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, we don't ever talk about the real history of where that phrase even came from. Mm-hmm. But you take that phrase, which you pointed out correctly, that it was, you know, what we want to do is to protect the church from intrusion by the state. Mm-hmm. We're not going to establish a theocracy. I don't know a single, that's not true. Radical Islam, probably interested in a theocracy. Mm-hmm. You know, you travel, you see the Taliban, those guys are definitely interested in a theocracy. Mm-hmm. But your average church-going person in the United States, we're for freedom. Mm-hmm. So you think the way you want to think, I think the way I'm going to want to think. You know, religion in the United States is a completely different animal than it is in many of these, many of the places around the world where you can see the natural outgrowth, right? They kill you if you don't follow along with what they want to do. That's never been the case here in the United States. And in fact, we got away from that when we said no to King George, take a hike.
Yep.
You know, we don't want your state religion. We're going to do our own thing.
Yeah.
And yet we've got things really backward in the United States and the school systems, of course, at the front of that, pushing this propaganda. And now we're so far down the rabbit hole that if you talk to your average college student right now, they hate this country because they've been taught to hate it. Mm-hmm. And so,
and they started that way back when I was a child of the 80s. They started that, I'm going to guess, before I was born. But even when I was growing up, I remember the church and state, like you were saying, the theocracy, right? Oh, they're never going to start. They were already kind of seeding that idea that, you know, that especially Republicans, but, you know, God-fearing people who go to church that are also political.
Mm-hmm. That somehow they want to establish a state religion.
And it's they want to be the moral authority. They want to dictate and judge you, which is, again, I think that's created – that seeded at a young age and then propagated has not only made people – created an adversity to people being in politics that, you know, espoused religious beliefs, but also made it so that people didn't want to explore church, right, or look at it, and especially combined with the issues we've had in established, you know, brick and mortar churches, that it was kind of a perfect storm for people to check out of it and not realize that it's not about either thing, and you know, it's about a personal relationship with Jesus,
right,
and holding yourself to account and trying to be better.
Yeah, it's personal. It's a personal decision and that personal accountability and wanting to become more like Christ. I mean, that's the game. That is the end result for every Christian, right, is to become more like Christ. And I think as I'm watching all these things play out in the culture right now, we have been so sorely divided, right? They're dividing us now by vaccination status. They're dividing us by race. They're trying to divide us by sexual orientation, right? This whole idea of being divide and conquer, then you bring us and this is where we're headed with this conversation, right? I love what you just said, the perfect storm, because we are so divided as a nation right now. Mm-hmm. So why not come in? And this is the time when we can't even have conversations around the Thanksgiving table anymore about politics. Why not now come in and really start messing with the elections? And you started getting involved because I'm assuming of what happened in 2020 and yep. you started really digging into this. So tell us a little bit about how that got started and sort of where we are now, because I know there are a lot of people listening to this right now who are frustrated, who feel disenfranchised. They don't want to vote anymore. We saw this in Clark County just the other day. The voter turnout historically low. I think people are just discouraged. So take us back to you started going, something's not right. And then what did you do?
I just obsessively followed what was going on. You know, I didn't do anything at our state level right away because I was trying to find out what was going on. It was very suspicious, obviously, with all the battleground states shutting down at the same time at night. And you go, okay, well, something's not right and is happening. You know, but at that time, it's kind of, well, it's just those states. It's not our state.
It's Georgia.
It's Michigan. It's Wisconsin.
Arizona.
It's Arizona.
Yeah.
You know, the Alaska one I found funny. I lived for a period of time when I was little in Alaska, and watching them strain to not call that was obvious. It was a big red flag too. Yep. It's like, why are you not calling this? That was their backup. But yeah, so after that, I started digging into our state. The numbers didn't look right. I honestly just was screaming out in chat rooms on, you know, pundits, YouTube channels and things like that, just trying to get some attention to see if I can get one of these national kind of people to come
to
look at our
attention to Washington.
Look what's going on. I think there's something wrong here. Can you tell me if I'm crazy? Or do you have any data that would support any of this? So I managed to randomly get a hold of a kind of a YouTube personality who then connected me with Dr. Doug Frank. And so he connected me with somebody up with WCU and we set up a time for him to come and talk to a small group, about 50 people here in Clark County that were influential, including some of the politicians. And he ran through all the data for us and showed, you know, conclusively. And that was easy for me. Again, I had stats all the way through high school and college, and that was really easy. So I understood it, but it was apparent that that was going to be kind of a hard thing for the average person to grasp and really understand that what he's showing is – you know, you never say it's impossible. The statistical probability that it happened the way it happened is you'd have a better chance winning the lottery. So it was
you went out and bought yourself a lottery ticket.
Yeah, I wish. So that was kind of the first part.
So his conclusion was what? Just for the average listener.
So the average listener. So basically there's four anomalies that were very obvious in the data. The three big ones are that at age 73, 74, and 78, there were more voters than there were people of that population in our county. So right there, you have more votes than people. So that's obvious that there's a problem there. Now, is that enough to cause a big problem? Why is it that problem? I mean, that's kind of the hard part with all this that they like to play the game with of, well, you need to prove that there's voter fraud before we do an audit. Well, we need to do an audit to prove there's voter fraud.
Right. That's like Nancy Pelosi. You got to vote for the bill before you can see what's in it.
Before you can see what's in it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, and that's what they like to hang their hat on, right? If you don't have proof, well, I have statistical evidence that says this can't happen, essentially. And we just want to find out why. I mean, we don't know why. We don't know what the, you know, the score is going to be, but we figure everything out, but we need to look at it and we need to be reassured that this is, you know, our voice is being heard. I was naive enough at first to think, well, we have a Republican auditor here in Clark County. Well, not the Secretary of State. I mean, I figure at the state level.
Are we talking about Kim Wyman?
I'm talking about Kimsey, our local
auditor.
So I thought, well, you know, we'll go in. We've convinced some of the city council or the county councilors to take a look at this, and they're dismayed. You know, some prominent business people in the area and people involved in the politics. So let's just go say, hey, we'll raise the money and we don't want the fanfare and the drag out that was coming out of Arizona at the time. We don't want to tear apart our community and have this national attention. So let's just go in. Let's just take the, you know, do our audit, do the forensic audit, and then get out and compile the data and figure out what's going on and kind of dissect it and figure out, were we being mucking with which races, how much, and where our problems are so we can fix them. Really tried to go at it with the attitude of I don't have any mistrust of anyone local. I think that it's a system. It's a lot like the TSA. It's security theater for them. It's security theater for us. It's a system designed to look comprehensive and secure, and all the fraud is taking place around those areas. And so that's what we wanted to get to, is all the areas that you know,
and
aren't
how were you
that.
Received?
You know, at first, I would say negatively. Mm-hmm. You know, which I would expect some level of discretion, concern. Got to digest what I'm asking.
Sure. Can,
are we, you know, are we allowed to do that? Since then, it's become very obvious that whatever's going on, there's at least a knowledge that something's going on, and they need to cover it, whether or not they know the specifics of what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
I would say Wyman absolutely knows what's going on. And Kimsey, unfortunately, has been kind of her right-hand man in espousing positive, you know, things about Wyman and how we do our elections. And, of course, one of my polls for getting some of these national people was, hey, we're the supposed blue state, right? The mm-hmm. solid blue state, thanks mm-hmm. to Seattle. And we've been doing mail-in ballots forever, and we just do it so well, right?
Right.
And then they drug her around the country.
We haven't had a Republican in office, really, since we instituted mail-in ballots.
Yeah, and you can go back as a tangent
to Dino Rossi.
Dino Rossi and mm-hmm. Gregoire, right? Mm-hmm. And they did recount. Oh, no,
until
Dino
they got what
won.
They wanted.
Yep. And, yeah. Oh, and then we happened to find what it was like, I don't remember, but I want to say over 100,000 ballots they found in a warehouse that they didn't find before.
Yeah.
You know, miraculously, after mm-hmm. probably the amount of time that we've seen that mm-hmm. takes them to backfill.
Mm-hmm. When did that happen?
What was that? 06?
Yeah. It's been a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, and that was kind of one of those, oh, shucks, you know,
right.
where they kind of pass it off. Well, you guys were close. And that's the interesting part, too, which we can talk about here in a second from one of the other data people, where you can see them not just stealing the elections. They're observing and manipulating it in real time in order to make adjustments.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the parts where you go, OK, so this is, you know, not a one time thing. This isn't a, you know, small cadre of people who are figuring out how to steal a local or state election. This mm-hmm. is a highly orchestrated national, you know, mm-hmm. national syndicate, really. It's a crime syndicate figuring out how to steal our elections across the entire republic and pushing things. One of the things, go back to R90, you know, how many states put in the same, essentially the same comprehensive sex ed bill at the same time? I know mm-hmm. Colorado's one of them,
mm-hmm.
and I don't think they probably voted for it either. They've got a pretty big rural base.
Mm-hmm.
Same time frame, all these bills that we seemingly don't want, but they somehow get voted in, and we kind of blame the ignorant masses, right?
Right.
They're pushed into multiple states all at the same time under the coordination of some of these, well, the foundations, and you can get into the conspiracy. I'd say conspiracy. I wouldn't call them necessarily theories, because I think there's enough evidence at some point you go, this isn't a conspiracy.
Right.
There's too many coincidences.
Yeah, right, right. Yeah, we're kind of getting tired of people calling us conspiracy theorists anyway. So you, I saw you at a dinner the other night with a bunch of other people who are concerned about this issue.
Mm-hmm.
And you said something interesting. You said, I think there's enough evidence to say that Washington State isn't the solid blue liberal, you know, bastion that everybody says it is.
Mm-hmm.
Why did you say that?
So there's three ways of going at the data that I like, that I've kind of I take as cultivation for looking at the elections here and other places. One of them was Doug Frank's, you know, which follows basically what it is. It's a sixth degree polynomial that they use the census data, and that's how they plug in these votes to backfill. So to manipulate it in real time by people changing things would be too hard, right? So they have to dump things into buckets that they've created.
Mm-hmm.
And they use algorithms to do that. And so they're going off the 2010 census data is what it looks like in order to be able to manipulate it and have it look somewhat realistic.
Mm-hmm.
They ran out of room, and that's why ours went over in those age groups. Basically, the algorithm ran out of room to plug votes because of the turnout, which is why I'm going to beat that into everyone's head. Vote every time. Go and vote. The only way to keep exposing it and to break the system
is to vote.
Yeah. You want to flood it beyond the level that they're able to, because what they're doing is they're using all the space of the non-voters.
So the low voter turnout actually helps assist with fraud is what you're
saying.
Correct.
Absolutely. So the more people to vote, the harder it is for them to overcome the fraud.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of them. Another person that I've liked their data a lot, and I think his is very strong, especially for the average person, and his presentations have a kind of a good wow factor of really letting people understand what I guess, the level of fraud, and especially in, he goes county by county, and that's Seth Keschel. He is strictly based off of population changes, voting trends, and party registration changes, which is harder for our state because, you know, we're not registered as a party. But he goes through county by county, and he's got whole heat maps to show which counties are, you know, have the most potential for fraudulent activity. Again, it's hard to say conclusively this is all fraud because we need an audit to determine what's mistakes, what's fraud, you know, what's human error, what's the difference between somebody sending in their deceased spouse's ballot every time because they knew that, you know, old Henry would have liked to have voted this way, right?
And
so they vote that one versus the people who are filling out wholesale ballots and then stuffing them in ballot boxes. So I think Seth is really good, and it comes at it from a completely different angle than the raw data. It's basically showing if you're following these trends over the last 20 years, this is how many votes you should end up with. Mm-hmm. And 2020 really his data goes well with 2020 because of the massive voter turnout. It just destroys those trends. Mm-hmm. And you see it and you just go, this doesn't make any sense. It couldn't have ended up that way.
Right.
And then a third person I like is she goes by Lady Draza. It's Draza Smith, and she's been taking. A lot of people don't realize the data is sent out from the systems, and it's put through to all the news organizations, the reporting agencies, the websites. So they put them out in little kind of packets, mm-hmm. and so you'll see it jump right, and it ticks. So there's maybe a few hundred. Data drops for our state throughout the night, and you can see them jump all around. So they took all that data and graphed it all, and you can see in the data that, one, they're following ratios mm-hmm. in these states. So they set these states at different ratios as far as endpoints to get to. And then you can see them adjust midway. You can see it. The data drop out.
Yeah.
All the votes drop. Right. Mm-hmm. Even though the percentages stay the same, or vice versa, the percentage will change, but the total number of votes stays the same. So how do you can't reconcile that mm-hmm. something changed. Now they'll say, oh, it's a glitch or it's something else. Mm-hmm. But that data supposedly is fed out of these systems raw.
Well, you can see why the average voter, mm-hmm. this information that you're sharing goes right over everybody's head. All they know is this wasn't right. Like you can go mm-hmm. down into rural Clark County, or you can go into Lewis County and you see, you know, like I'm talking about the 2020 election. I didn't see a Biden sign anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Really, not even in Seattle.
Nope.
My
nope.
son lived in Seattle. So I went up to Seattle to visit him a few times. He was wildly unpopular.
Yeah. You didn't see Inslee signs.
No.
That's another one that should be very obvious to Washingtonians is, no way that Inslee won, especially in the conditions we were in and his lockdown and his tyrannical BS.
Right.
It should be obvious to everyone, mm-hmm. even people who might have voted for him, mm-hmm. that this doesn't seem right.
Mm-hmm. And so where do you go from here? So I'm under the impression, this is what I understand right now, that Kim Wyman is leaving her job, right?
Oh, yeah.
She's going to start working for the federal government to keep the nation's elections safe.
Yes.
Boy, I feel better already.
Yeah. Well, she must have done a real good job helping, where'd she help? Georgia?
Yep.
Some of these other states.
Yep.
She did a bang-up job helping them with their
fraud.
As
a Republican, right? And so she's the only Republican currently holding a statewide office under Inslee.
Mm-hmm.
So what are the chances that he's going to replace her with a conservative?
Oh, no, it'll be another controlled opposition.
Sure.
It's one of those hindsight's 2020, but mm-hmm. I look at it and go, wait, so why is the only – if we're such a blue state, why is the only executive branch elected official this Republican?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you think about it, it's good cover.
Yeah.
Oh, of course you should trust your elections. It's your party that's in it, right?
Right.
It's a Republican running it. So it's actually pretty smart. It's mm-hmm. a good kind of first pass
cover
to say.
Yeah, it's really smart.
You shouldn't have any. Why are you so upset? Your guys are the ones who are running the elections. If mm-hmm. there was a problem, you would know it, and mm-hmm. she would be saying it.
So you're saying, and I think this is going to resonate with a lot of people listening to this today, for everybody who's going, this doesn't seem right. There's a reason that we feel that way.
Oh, yes.
And the statistics will back it up. So where do we go from here? So the first thing you're telling people is we've got to continue to vote. Mm-hmm. I was disappointed with the voter turnout, honestly, in this last election. Mm-hmm. You know, I worked pretty hard to get people out to the polls and say, listen, these local elections really matter. School boards, mayors, you know, we're voting on things that actually determine our quality of life right here mm-hmm. at the local level. Mm-hmm. And yet, yeah, I talked to dozens of people who are like, I don't even bother anymore. Why should we bother? This is like voting in Russia, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
We vote and then the Kremlin just goes, look at that. We won again. Thank you guys so much for participating. And I think people feel that way. But you're saying there are people, and this is really why I wanted you to come and talk about this, because I hear all the time, you know, people asking me as a congressional candidate, what is being done about election integrity? Because people are discouraged, they're disenfranchised, mm-hmm. which frankly I think is what the left wants. Mm-hmm. They want us to be discouraged. They want us to feel disenfranchised. They want us to just throw our hands up in the air and stop voting.
Mm-hmm.
Realize
that's a main part of all this. I mean, what's been amazing to this is there's red states, solidly red states, that they cheated in their elections.
Yeah.
And people go, why would they cheat in a place where they're not going to win? Or why would they cheat and not win? Mm-hmm. The intention is to push up the popular vote. Mm-hmm. The intention is to skew the numbers enough so that as an aggregate across the country, people who are conservative look like they're the minority voice.
Right.
That's the point. They mm-hmm. want you to feel isolated. They want you to feel alone. I mean, look what they've done with COVID, right? Mm-hmm. The whole idea is isolation. Make you feel alone, make mm-hmm. you feel crazy, mm-hmm. constantly switch the terms of the game mm-hmm. and create a mask psychosis situation.
Right. Hello.
Where people just start breaking down,
yeah.
freaking out, you know, mm-hmm. lighting off in the grocery store on each mm-hmm. other because mm-hmm. they're so stressed mm-hmm. And there's so little anything to count on mm-hmm. in the future.
Yep.
When it comes to the voting, you'd have to go one way or the other. Either we all need to vote. We need to all vote, which mm-hmm. I think is the best and easiest way to go. Go out and vote, go out and vote, go out and vote.
Right.
Because then you can push these algorithms out. You can take up that slack that they're utilizing in mm-hmm. order to cheat. That's another reason why we know that 2020 was absolute garbage, because I think our historical voting in Clark County is in the 60s. It's like 63-64% turnout. 2020 was like 84%.
Mm-hmm.
And so you go, what? How do you jump 20%? I mean, yeah, it was an important election, right? Well, so was Obama. Go back and look at the first Obama election.
Well, not only was it, you know, they're saying 84% turnout, but then they voted for the most wildly unpopular candidate ever to run.
Yeah, with more votes than anybody ever.
Yeah, he, you know, basically stayed in his bunker in his basement.
And people say, well, it wasn't a vote for him. It was a vote against Trump. I have a hard time feeling – there's definitely people who very strongly had TDS and are very much, mm-hmm. Yeah, spend a lot of effort and emotional energy to
right. And they were worn out from his tweets, which I get. Like, I was worn out from his tweets, but I loved his policy. And people, you know, it's very easy to sidetrack people. So mm-hmm. there, I'm sure, you know, that there was some of that, but not to the degree that they would like us to believe.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I want listeners, you know, to feel like, A, something is being done, mm-hmm. that there are people here in Washington State who are looking into it.
Mm-hmm.
And you're saying that that's the case. What are you guys hoping to accomplish as you're unpacking this stuff?
Right now, one of the organizations, WeCU, has 7 lawsuits in 7 different counties here.
Okay, so say that again for people. People are getting sued over this.
Yes,
is that what you're saying?
Yes, in 7 of the counties, and I'm going to butcher it if I try and remember all 7, but Clark County is one of them.
Here in the district? Or in you're saying 7 of the counties right here in CD3 or around the state?
Around the state.
Okay, gotcha.
So 7 counties in Washington State.
Okay.
Let me think. I think it's – well, there's Clark County. I think mm-hmm. Thurston, Pierce, mm-hmm. and Snohomish.
Is King County in there?
No.
No, okay.
Not because I don't think they would like to, but more because we know that's the big nut to crack.
Right.
That whole area is so heavily compromised mm-hmm. And influenced, and especially by the very people that are screwing with the whole world, really, right, of the big tech people.
Right, right.
And so the influence in that area is pretty high.
Like the Silicon Valley of Washington State.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which, quite frankly, I think is when you look at both Bezos and Gates, that's – those two to me – are going to be I guess have the most political control mm-hmm. out of all of the kind of
it's a
big
lot of money.
It's a lot of money, and then you know, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation being so prominent for so long that they've got a lot of influence. So that area is kind of, it's more of a, well, let's get momentum in other parts of the state and
which
show that
there's
a problem.
Which is what's happening with these lawsuits, and what? How are they being filed? They're being filed under what? What are they calling them?
So it's a civil rights issue. It's, you know, that it, what it is it's a equal protection under the law, right? If we can't show that we didn't have fraudulent elections, we don't know that our vote is being protected equally.
Okay.
That's the basis for it. And that's really, and that is fundamentally what it is. Mm-hmm. We don't know what anything really is. So it's not like I'm going to go and say, you know, hey, judge, we won and they're lying. You don't know. Mm-hmm. And quite frankly, it's important to me, but it's not the primary thing.
So the suit, so I'm just trying to help listeners and myself to understand.
Sure.
So the suit is basically, you're suing for the right to have the stuff looked into fairly. You're saying,
correct,
we want this thing adjudicated. We want it to be audited. We want there to be confidence that our votes are being counted and that dead people are not voting and that people are not voting five and six times.
Yep.
And so you're basically just suing for the right to look at the ballots, right?
I would say we want and expect the judge would uphold what I consider our state constitutional rights. So if people don't know, and sadly, most of them don't.
You're right.
Our state constitution, Article 1, Section 1, is that we hold all political power as a people.
Mm.
Well, how do we know if we hold the political power if we don't have a vote?
If we don't trust our elections.
And we don't trust our election. And if we ultimately have the political power, then we have the power to go in and do whatever we want. Whenever we want, when we're upset with how these elected officials do stuff.
A little bit of a Boston Tea Party moment here.
Yeah. Hey,
we're going to start dumping some tea into the bay.
We're in charge.
Yeah.
And we want to do something that doesn't violate anyone else's rights.
Mm-hmm.
And so we expect to be able to do it, right?
So these lawsuits have been filed.
Mm-hmm.
When do you expect to see some movement on this? Because we've got another big election coming up in 2022.
Mm-hmm. It's the court system. So it's, that's the hard part. Almost immediately after filing, Perkins Coie came in and, you know, have tried to insert themselves in the lawsuits.
And who's that?
Perkins Coie is, in my opinion, throw that in there, the Uniparty's international team of crony lawyers.
Okay.
One of them is one that's been indicted by John Durham. He was one of the partners.
Oh, what a tangled web we weave.
Yes. And their fingerprints are kind of all over everything.
So they're trying to fight back against you guys.
Audits. And not just us. That's across anybody doing anything across the nation.
It's so
that's
amazing
who's fighting
to me
back.
Because it seems like this is like voter ID, right? So I'm a huge proponent of voter ID.
Mm-hmm.
You can't get a beer in Washington State
you
can't check out a library book. You can't get on an airplane. And yet the most sacred responsibility that we have, which is to be able to determine our own destiny through the voting process, the Democrats want to obliterate voter ID.
Mm-hmm.
That should concern every American.
Absolutely.
And to me, the voter integrity is the same. It's the same issue. It would seem to me that Republicans and Democrats alike would go, of course we want there to be free and fair elections. So the fact that people are pushing back against this should be a huge red flag, right? That there are people who literally say, no, we shouldn't adjudicate. We shouldn't do a forensic audit. We don't care. Everything's just fine.
Yeah.
You know, ignore the burning bush, right?
Yeah.
Just ignore that.
Well, it's a mostly peaceful protest and the building's engulfed in flames behind
I love that. Like that reporter, the CNN reporter over in the Middle East, when they're chanting death to America, and she goes, you can hear them. They're chanting death to America. And she goes, well,
they seem so friendly.
What bizarre. We're living in just upside down clown town,
absolutely,
that this is actually happening. So where do we go? We've got about 4 minutes left. Where do we go from here? So we know that there are lawsuits have been filed.
Mm-hmm. I am hoping that there's follow through on the lawsuits filed for
Clark County
previous election.
Oh, okay. For
2021.
Yes.
So hopefully there'll be some movement on that.
Mm-hmm.
Perkins Coie tried to kick the lawsuits from state court up to federal court. We've asked them to go back. The states who can give us the remedies we're asking for, so that's the proper jurisdiction.
Right. There's that pesky word jurisdiction again.
Yep.
Federal government's so far out of its lane, it's forgotten what its role is. And we heard the federal government just the other day say it has more power than the states.
Mm-hmm.
Wrong. It's like they don't know the 10th Amendment. Oh, wait, because they don't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so this terrible overreach and abuse of the Constitution, which goes all the way up to the top, it's systemic, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
And you can go look at what's amazing, the brief that they filed against us of why they should be able to be inserted into the lawsuit, you know, in defense of the law of on the side of the defense, which is, in this case, Clark County and Greg Kimsey. Is
for people who are listening, remind them who Greg Kimsey is.
Greg Kimsey's our auditor.
Okay.
I'll aptly name since he won't actually do an audit.
Interesting.
So they filed a brief in order to, you should go read it. I mean, this is all public record because it's filed with the court, so people can go look at it. This isn't like a secret thing. To me, it reads like an admission of guilt. I mean, it is phenomenal. I guess I don't know how you would combat us just saying we want to take an audit and take a strong look at everything and find out what's
why
what.
Why would they not want that?
Well, we know why.
Things that make you go,
Yeah,
you know why.
There's right. There's no. If the other side asked for it, I'd say sure.
Yeah, do it.
Yeah,
yeah.
In fact, I've seen a lot of people saying where Youngkin just won in Virginia.
Yeah, do it.
Yeah, do it.
Do it.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
You guys don't like the way this turned out? Cool. Let's go in and do a full audit.
Let's do it again.
Because we don't trust. And we want to be able to trust.
Yeah,
we need to be able to trust.
And I think the very fact that they're pushing so hard against that is a huge problem. So in Washington State, I guess this is what I really want listeners to know. There are real efforts being made to adjudicate this election, to get forensic audits. And then the way that we move forward out of this is not to vote less. It's to make sure more people are voting.
Absolutely.
Not people voting more often.
Yes. Yeah, right.
But just more people voting.
Yep.
And to say, hey, don't give up.
Yep.
Because that's what they want us to do. We need to have, you know, I mean, the Democrats, I've been saying this forever, socialists don't sleep. They're out there doing their voter drives and all the things.
Well, that's
conservatives need to get out there.
Yeah. It's their religion.
It is. Absolutely.
It is their religion. Mm-hmm. And that's what they spend every waking hour doing it.
Mm-hmm.
We do, besides everyone voting, I'd say drop your ballots in the ballot boxes and I'd say do it the last day you can.
Okay.
I don't know that that will have a help. But, you know, we can watch the ballot boxes when they're being retrieved. We can watch and kudos to King County because they've been logging everything. They've been doing a great job. Go volunteer. You can be a CEO, which is Certified Election Observer. It's a very easy thing.
How do they do that? If people who are listening to this and they go, you know, I could, that's my part. I could play that. How do you become an election observer?
So you go through one of the parties because they try and keep it, quote, balanced as far as which party you're with. And then, so you go to the local party and you sign up and they do once a year training. It's like an hour. I mean, it's very common sense. And then you sign up for time slots. And so you could go watch them pick up the ballots at the ballot boxes. You can watch them do the signature verifications. You can watch them run them through the machines. The idea is that everybody can,
transparency.
There's supposed to be transparency. Now I'd like to see everything on 24/7 cameras.
Right.
To me, that's the most transparent.
Right.
You know, that's a pretty low, nowadays, that's a very low bar in order to make happen.
Right.
And to the credit of some of the Clark County, you know, they've taken some of the suggestions seriously and implemented them. My mind, personally, I kind of just think, well, that must not have been a very effective requirement. Then.
Right.
if they're that quick to do it, it's like,
sure, we'll do that. Yeah. Then you have to go, wait a second, maybe we, yeah, it's like when you put something up for sale on Craigslist and then it sells right away and you go, shoot, I should have asked for more.
Yep.
You know, it's that kind of a thing. So Brett, where we go from here really is just letting people know something is happening.
Mm-hmm.
There are people who are actively working to make sure that our elections are both free and fair.
Mm-hmm.
Right here in Washington State. Is there one single place where people can go to kind of get news on these lawsuits? How do they find out how they're progressing through the system?
So there's two organizations that are doing, because we've been doing canvassing as well.
Okay. Explain that.
Canvassing is literally going and knocking on people's doors and saying, did you vote? If so, did you vote by, you know, well, we all know here they voted by mail.
Right. Boy, that's something we need to fix too.
Yes.
The whole vote by mail thing. Come on.
Ideally, we go back to precinct level. Everyone goes. You know, votes in person with an ID, and then we count them at the precinct, and then just send the totals.
That's how we used
because
to do it.
Because even if one precinct is compromised, what's the effect on that versus everything goes right now. Everything goes centralized. They don't even really know what the
county. Well, the federal government wants to do that. I mean, look at HR 1, right? The federal government wants to come in and hijack our elections. And they, I mean, we will never see a free and fair election again if the federal government messes up everything they touch, right?
So this is probably why they want Wyman, because what they want to do is what they already do in Washington.
Unbelievable.
So they centralize it by sending everything to the Secretary of State's office. And if you think it's not connected to the internet, that's that's a blatant lie.
Right, right.
They admit that it's connected to the internet. You know, our Clark County, they've already deleted a ton of the voter data from the 2020 election.
Wow.
Yep. They pulled the hard drive, sent them to Hard InterCivic. So they sent them to this third party company without making any forensic imaging of the hard drives.
It's almost impossible to take in when you realize, you know, how complicated and convoluted it's become. And, you know, my goal always, you know, because I've been doing a podcast for 8 years. Mm-hmm. This one is almost exclusively related to what's happening in Washington State and around the country. But my goal has always been to educate, to inform, and to empower people to say, don't give up, because that is what they want.
Yep.
And so we don't want people to be discouraged. We want them to be eyes wide open. Let's look and see what's going on and then move to do something about it. If people want to get involved in this, is there a place for them to get involved?
Yeah. You know, probably one of the best ones is the Clark County Republican Election Integrity Team group.
How do they find that?
You go on the Clark County Republican website, and they'll give a time for the meetings. And you know, there are people who aren't Republicans who have gotten involved with it,
which is good.
Yeah,
which is
there's
good.
Progressive people who supported Bernie Sanders who knew the jig was up.
Yeah,
with that.
Yeah, poor Bernie. I mean, I don't feel bad he didn't get elected, but come on, everyone saw what Hillary did.
Well, we would have maybe at least had somebody who could stand up and say a coherent sentence, even if it was still insane ideas. Right. At least you could understand
your
what
you're ideas
saying.
Are stupid, but you know what? We're gonna fight to the death your right to be able to say them, mm-hmm. and the right of the American people to be able to vote on whether or not they like your dumb ideas.
Yep.
Right. And that's what this is all about. So, well, it has been just really, really good to have you here. I know for me, when I've, you know, over the months when, as I've been talking to you, and I've been, you know, really encouraged by the fact just to know that there are people that are working on this and it hasn't been swept under the rug. There are people who are working very, very hard to make sure that Washington State's elections are both free and fair. And in the meantime, the responsibility of the voter is to get out there and vote, to become an observer of an election, to get involved in the process. You said go to the Clark County Republican website, become involved in the election integrity process there. And I think it gives people hope going forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I would encourage, there's one thing that I feel like people don't really talk about. To all those people who know that there or feel like there's voter fraud, but the, hey, all the things I want are happening, all the people I want to get in office are in office and all, that only lasts until it doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
What you want is a voice so that you can free and fairly get them in and you know that you are not a slave to the lies that they've created. Because at some point they look how they're behaving now. Mm-hmm. None of these people are behaving like they're worried about getting reelected.
I know.
So what happens?
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is an amazing time, and now is the time to fight for freedom. I mean, it's why I, you know, as a homeschool mom of seven, it's why I jumped into congressional race. It's because we realize we got to stop depending on other people to do the thing for us and start doing it ourselves.
Yep.
And really getting out there. I appreciate you being at the front of this here in Clark County, and you have to come back and keep us posted on how the fight for election integrity is going here in Washington State.
Absolutely.
Brett Simpson, it's been a joy to have you here. We'll come back again, and we'll keep talking about it.
All right. Thank you very much.
For more information, go to HeidiSt.JohnForCongress.com. You can click on the Action tab, and I will link back to the Clark County Republican Party's election integrity link there, so you can go straight to it, and also how you can become an election observer. Thanks for listening today, everybody. Washington State is worth fighting for. Let's keep fighting together. All right, I think we got it.